If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, there's a pretty good chance you're familiar with Bill Steinke. Bill was president of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in 2017 and will serve again in that capacity in 2022. We talked with Bill about his background, his career in real estate, local market conditions, and his vision for the next year. You can listen in on that conversation beginning right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville. I'm here in the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. With me, as usual, is Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. How are you?
Let me check. Wow, pretty good.
Oh, well, that's
better
good.
Than I deserve.
Bright and sunny?
Yeah, no, it's everything's bright and sunny in Fort Myers. Are you kidding me? This is the bright, sunny place, at least most of the time.
Absolutely.
We are the show, by the way, that talks about real estate. We talk about every aspect of it. We talk about things mainly that realtors would care about, but we also have an overlapping audience with homeowners, home buyers, home sellers. If you live in a home, you're going to hear something here that will be useful and hopefully a little bit entertaining for you. So we have a great guest in the studio today. He's a tough get because he's a popular guy in local real estate circles, but we got him, so we are very pleased about that. His name, and I will welcome him to the show right now, is Bill Steinke. Welcome, Bill.
Hi, how are you, Jim?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Very good. And Jerry, you're doing all right, too?
I am. Thanks for asking.
All right, cool.
It's a pleasure to have you in.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
One of the reasons I'm excited to have Bill in the studio is because he's got a sort of a long-term perspective on the real estate business from multiple angles, and he is our incoming president. Now, this is going to air just before the first of the year, so Bill will be installed as the president in a couple of weeks, but he will be president effective January 1st, right?
That's correct.
Of 2022. And Bill has actually been president before in 2017, right?
Correct.
All right, so this is not
so I get a do-over.
Yeah. There's no mulligan necessary, I'm sure. Your first term was so successful, the people demanded you back, so here you are.
Well, I'd like to think that's how it worked out, but I'm very happy, very honored that they'd have me come back a second time, and we got some great things to accomplish, and we're all looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Great. Well, why don't we start off, Bill, with hearing a little bit about your background, where you're from, and how'd you happen to get into the real estate business?
Sure. I was born in a little town outside of Buffalo, New York, as long as you don't hold that against me, the town of Tonawanda. Grew up as a young child there, of course, big Buffalo Bills fan, and, started my first jobs as a child there, and then due to my grandparents' health, moved to Florida in 1975, actually to the east coast of Florida, but had been coming down since 1961. My grandmother's sister lived first in Boca Raton, then Fort Lauderdale, so I got to experience Florida as a very young tyke, and we'd always come to the west coast of Florida before we went back up north. So I got a feel for this area from a very young age, and then when we moved down in 75 and I started going to college on the East Coast, ended up getting transferred over here, believe it or not, and right in Fort Myers on the corner of College Parkway and McGregor. There used to be a restaurant there called Wove's Restaurants.
Wow.
And we had steak bites, and we were known for one of the first companies to ever have skin on the French fries, and we actually cut them and peeled them right there in front of the public as they would come into the restaurant, and that later on went on to become other things.
So that was your restaurant.
I ran it for the company, for Wove's. Okay. They asked me to come and manage that restaurant, and I ended up going to Gainesville and the University of Florida, and we had restaurants there, and so I moved around with them for a while, but that was when I first came to Fort Myers professionally, was then for that reason, and then found my way back here. It's a beautiful place to live, and given the opportunity to live anywhere I wanted to, came back here.
And you were you in the financial services industry?
I was. I started out in restaurant and small business management, and then in the early 80s, I took to financial planning and financial advisory work, became a certified financial planner, worked for American Express Financial Advisors, was with them for 16 years, and ended up traveling around the country a little bit as a vice president for them. And my last destination was here. I came back here from a little town out near Portland, Oregon, where I'd been for 2 years running the Northwest for American Express. And this area of the country became available. My mom was still alive at the time, who actually kind of initiated my interest in real estate back when I was a small child. She was in real estate all of her life. So given the opportunity to come back, help take care of her in her later years, I took that opportunity in, 1996. And then in 2000, they wanted me to move to Lincoln, Nebraska. And I said, not no, but heck no. So it ended up that they gave me an early out package, and it afforded me the opportunity to stay right here in town, where I've raised four children and got nine grandchildren, and everyone still stays local except for my youngest son, who is in the Army and serving in Fort Jackson, South Carolina right now.
Okay. So you've taken advantage of the recreational amenities in the area too, right?
Yeah, I have. Not only taken advantage of them, but also made a business out of them. When I left American Express, my children were in college age and looking at careers, and they had always loved the water as I did, and we decided to take a plunge and open up a small business on Fort Myers Beach, and so we opened the Beach Club at Junkanoo's, for people that know the area. Great place on the water, restaurant, a lot of activities on the beach, and so built and ran that business until 2008, and took the opportunity to sell that then, and with the thought of what do I want to do with the rest of my life now that I'm grown up, was to go back to those years where I watched my mom as an agent and a broker and a land developer, both up north and in the Carolinas and down here in Florida. Of course, in our area at that time, if you think back to 2008, 2010, was rough shape here, real estate wise. And I'd been mentored by a number of people who said the best time to look at getting into any business is when it's in trouble, because it's got nowhere to go but up, and it certainly has. So that's when my professional real estate career began here in Southwest Florida.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, what a wonderful place it is to live. I can't imagine you'd ever want to leave.
It's a whole lot nicer to live here 50 weeks a year and go snow skiing 2 weeks a year than it is to deal in the snow countries 50 weeks a year and come here for two. So that's fortunate for us in the real estate business. Many people think that. So they come down, they visit, they realize, hey, it'd be a whole lot nicer to stay there longer than a couple weeks for our vacation. And that's why they come looking for us, to give them professional advice on where it'd be a great place to live to enjoy the lifestyle that they want.
Gotcha. And you're with Myloff Aubuchon, is that correct?
Myloff Aubuchon Realty Group and Aubuchon Homes. We have a multifaceted organization there with a number of subsidiary companies, and I run the sales and business development for Aubuchon Homes, and then act as a professional realtor within the guise of Myloff Aubuchon Realty Group.
So you're out there showing houses and...
I think extremely important to stay involved, stay active, know the areas, know what's happening in the areas. If you can keep your finger on the pulse of the business, you can be a much greater advantage to your customers.
All right. Speaking of the pulse of the business, last couple of years have been interesting. I think you'd give me that.
Oh, sure. Well, it's always interesting.
Yeah, sure.
Challenging, I think, probably is a better adjective. And I think what it's done is it's allowed realtors to rise to the occasion. It certainly, as I was the district vice president for Florida Realtors during that time. And I got coined by saying we'll probably never get back to business as usual, but what we've learned to do is to work business as possible. And so it certainly challenged everyone in the industry, not just realtors, but all the affiliated businesses as well, to do business in a way that we'd never done it before, virtually. There was some legislation that was passed that allowed some things that required physical presence to now be able to be done virtually. And we were, you know, extremely blessed to have people in, you know, the decision-making positions within our state to allow real estate and all the ancillary businesses connected to it to be considered an essential business, which obviously, especially in, Southwest, Southeast, and Central Florida, is the mainstay of what makes everything tick, is the real estate business. Fortunately, our realtors were able to continue to work through that period in time where there were other states in the union where they were not allowed to work. They shut down real estate business completely.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, not only has the profession evolved from over the last couple of years, tempered by the necessities of reality, but I'm guessing you found that the customers, what drives decisions to buy a house here, has also evolved, right?
Absolutely. It's I used to joke, but to some degree, it's pretty serious. Until God decides to turn the sun off, people are always going to want to come here. So it's a great business to be in for longevity purposes. But the reasons why they want to be here went far beyond the sun. One of the reasons why they wanted to be here was that they could do their business where they might have been coming from a city or a state where their business was shut down, but they could actually conduct it from here. Many companies decided that, you know, for them to continue their work, that they were going to have to appeal to their employees from a way that if they had to work from home, where could they work from home comfortably? So many people came to us saying, hey, you know, my boss has told me that I can either stay here in my, you know, one bedroom flat in Brooklyn, or I can come down and sit on the beach and do business down on Fort Myers Beach. Can you help me get to Fort Myers Beach? And absolutely, we can. So, yeah. So many of the reasons why they came changed due to the pandemic, and they still exist today, even though many of the restrictions have eased up.
Yeah, I think that the remote work is kind of a long-term trend, not obviously 100%, but a good portion of people, I think, will be working remotely.
Sure. I think businesses have found that they, you know, if their people can have the same level of productivity by working from home, that they're going to allow them to do that. So our hope is that as those employees take advantage of that opportunity that they've been given, that they realize that the need to be productive is still there. And, you know, with that being said, then businesses can become more profitable. They don't have to have as much expense. They don't have to have as big a building. And that then causes some shift in the commercial real estate business as companies might change their venues and whatnot. So it makes for a very active environment with the changes that the pandemic that we've gone through has put in front of us.
Yeah, we've had some of the commercial folks in here for the podcast, and I was kind of expecting them to tell me that business is not good, but it turns out it's very good for those folks.
Absolutely. You know, not only does Florida have sun and recreation and whatnot, we also, unknown to many people, we're kind of a tax haven, you know, and so with no state income tax, businesses, you know, that obviously are looking out for their employees' net income, looking out for the owner's net income, if they operate their business. Businesses here from Florida, and it turns out to be, Florida state-based income, they save themselves some pretty good money. So more and more businesses, we saw Hertz come to the area, many other, you know, larger corporations are coming here, where it's not just the retirees coming here anymore, but it's the business owners and people that are bringing more jobs to the area, and it helps everyone.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on the growth we've seen in the market over the last year or so? Prices, of course, are up inventory's down. Where do you see that going?
Well, yeah, you go back to finance 101 from school, and supply and demand, you know, drives much of any business. And so here, you know, in Florida, we were on a relative trend of building new homes that kind of matched the influx of people into the area. We also, you know, are kind of God's waiting room. People do come here to retire, and eventually they will have their ultimate retirement. And so that's certainly brings vacant homes that are available as well. But so between the homes that become vacant and the homes that can be built by builders, there was a pretty good equilibrium there for quite a while. And then, you know, with a huge influx of people that now could now come to Florida, not to retire, but to continue to work, and or to work when they couldn't work where they were, you couple that. That obviously then is an increase in demand. Supply then got somewhat restricted because the materials that builders would use to build a home were in short supply, not because of an over demand, but because they couldn't get built. Many of the manufacturing plants where materials would be made for the building process, they were under COVID protocol, where if someone on the assembly line tested positive, they'd have to shut the whole line down for 2 weeks. We've all seen in the news issues with transporting the goods, getting them to and from, people working on the docks to unload the freighters. So a lot of that has caused a restriction on the ability to have the materials that are necessary to build the homes. So most of the builders in our area are building homes for people that have already contracted for them to live in them. They're not adding to supply. And so we see this as more than likely at least a two-year trend that the builders, with the labor force that's available and the materials that are available, will be inundated with building for people that have already contracted for the home, not building it as a some would call a spec home, or having, you know, communities that are there that, you know, pick one. We just don't think we're going to be there for a couple years. And both Florida Realtors Economists, as well as National Association of Realtor Economists, and the International Builder Trade, they're all singing the same song. So my guess is it's probably true.
Gotcha. All right, we're up against a very quick break here, so if you don't mind hanging out with us for a few more minutes, Bill, we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Bill Risser, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast with Jim and Jerry. This place is amazing.
Hi, I'm Caroline Boland, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Bob Wade, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Do you know a student who could use help with college tuition? Well, if you're a realtor and you have children, this may be for you. The Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has announced the creation of the Kevin Williamson Scholarship Program for sons and daughters of realtors who are pursuing higher education. To qualify, students must be Florida residents and have at least one parent who's a realtor. Scholarships start at $1,000, and applicants are judged based on extracurricular activities, financial need, and other criteria. This program is named in memory of our late president-elect, Kevin Williamson, who was well known in the community for his generous support of those in need. For eligibility and criteria information, visit the rpcra.org website. Click on the magnifying glass search icon, type in scholarship, and press enter. Then click on scholarship from results. We wish the best of luck to all. We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville along with Jerry Johnson.
Hello.
And our guest. Our guest today is Bill Steinke. Bill is a well-known man in local real estate circles, having been president of this association, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, during the year 2017.
Yeah, 1917. That placed me a little older than I am now.
Yeah, let me do some quick math on that. No, it doesn't add up. It must be 2017. So that's when you were president. And you're going to be president again next year. As we discussed before the break, challenging times of the last couple of years. So you're taking the helm at a time when things are good in that there's plenty of business, but there's plenty of challenges too. What's your vision for the association going forward?
Well, you know, I'm very, very fortunate to be taking over the reins of a very healthy organization with tremendous members, tremendous volunteers. Many might not know that, as large of an association as we have, and it is considered in national terms as a mega board, the majority of the leadership that is provided for in the association at all levels is all volunteer leadership. So it's leaders leading and helping other realtors, brokers leading and helping other brokers. So, it's a very cooperative business, and we have at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, we have incredible staff that are there to do the day-to-day implementation, the day-to-day work of the work, and they do a fabulous job of it. But all those the people that govern the association, that deal with the available products and services and the things that our consumers can use and our realtors can use to service the consuming public, those are all led by volunteer staff. And so we have a tremendous group of volunteers that work within the committees in the association, the board of directors, some of the subsidiary corporations that assist the community and that we're involved in the community. So while we have challenging times, I would tell you that we have an extremely healthy and well-run association that I'm happy to pick up the reins from our 2021 president, Robin McKeever, and continue our quest to provide tremendous value to the realtors that we serve, the affiliates, our affiliate members, our MLS members. There's a variety of different types of memberships in the association. And so we're at a point now where we serve a little over 9,300 people. And we've got some great things to come.
Mm-hmm. Now, I must confess, I was not aware that we were considered a mega board by NAR standards.
Correct.
What kind of qualifies you with that, and where do we fit in nationally?
Depending upon a geography and the amount of real estate being done in an area, obviously, you can only support so many professionals, so to speak. And so, as associations get larger and larger and larger, they are considered at different levels by NAR. And so, when we would go to conferences and whatnot, just like a small business, a small family business with three employees, would probably not get a lot out of going to a business convention with the IBMs and the Fortune 50 companies. And so the same thing is true when an association goes to a state conference or a national conference. They try to group the boards together based on size. And so having 9,300 members, that qualifies us as a mega board. It increases the number of people that we would have on the board of directors at Florida Realtors, and as well as National Association of Realtors. So the smaller the association, they have fewer representatives at the table, so to speak. The larger associations have more. And then the subsidy to support those people being in those learning environments and contributing environments changes based on the size of the association.
Gotcha. Do you have any particular initiatives in mind that you'd like to move forward during your tenure?
Well, the timing couldn't have been better. Just yesterday, we had a meeting with all of those volunteer leaders that will be in some type of leadership capacity in 2022. And one of the most exciting that I'm really looking forward to is we've established a new committee with a great focus on being involved in the community. And so while certainly as an association we have had events and things that would attract the realtor population, if you will, we are now going to focus on being in the community and not necessarily bringing everything to the association, but taking the association out into the areas in which we live. So you'll see us. We'll have tents out there at things like Red, White, and Boom, in Cape Coral, the art festival, events that are that are held down in the River District, and so as our consumers would be out at these events, they'll see us there and be able to come by, and we'll have information there for them, events that are going on, charitable endeavors that they can get involved in. Many of the charitable endeavors that are already going on, we participate in, but not to the degree that we will now that we have our community involvement committee. So I'm really looking forward to that, and being able to be out there and actually commune with our customers, the visitors to our area, so that we can bring the wealth of knowledge that we really do have directly to them, that they don't have to seek us out, that we'll already be out there with them.
Gotcha. So the end game there would be we want to develop some awareness of our association, possibly drive membership, or what exactly is the goal?
You know, it's not so much driving membership as it is for the community to really experience the hearts. The realtor heart that is there. We have so many of our realtor members and our affiliate members that are concerned about local considerations, water quality, our school system, our roads, security, and so that's happening somewhat behind the scenes. We want to be out there where it's seen. There are awards that are given across the country, across the state, for those realtors that are highly participative in the community. And so we want to take it a step further and be there and really advocate for the community while we're there. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, give the community an opportunity to see what a realtor really does, who a realtor really is, and how they contribute to the area. My grandfather once said, if all you do is pick the apples, the tree will die. You have to fertilize the apple tree. And so in a way and in a metaphor, that's what we need to make sure that we do, that we're out in the community and fertilizing the apple tree for all of those businesses and all of the families that are supported by and represented by our realtor members and our affiliate members.
Yeah, a lot of stakeholders out there, and realtors are really well known for giving back to their communities. I think sometimes, though, they do it quietly, so no one ever hears about it, but I know personally that people are out there doing things.
Very, very, very much so. You know, we, and almost to the point where, we like to acknowledge them. And so sometimes we have to dig to find out what they're doing. And then when we do, it's like, don't you dare make a spectacle of this. And, I appreciate the award, but I'll take it very quietly and I'll put it up on the wall in my office, but I don't want anybody to make a big deal of this.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge, but you're absolutely right. We have quite a few that are heavily involved with many of the major things that you might never even know about.
Yeah, it strikes me that the kind of people we'd want to recognize are the kind of people who would not want to be recognized.
Right. Absolutely,
so,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Lots and lots of examples of that. So let's see if we can get them out of the woodwork and hold them up as examples as community leaders, which they are. Looking at this from the perspective of the public, if you're looking into our association, into the real estate business, what kind of misperceptions does the public have about us or realtors?
I'm not so sure that it's a misperception about realtors. I think it might be a misperception about the value of a realtor. The amount of work and the amount of education, continuing education, and staying privy to all those things that are important to a customer when they're considering selling a home or purchasing a home. There's so much work that's done behind the scenes that many times it's only seen that, well, the realtor turns the key, opens the door, lets the customer see, and that's really all they do. That couldn't be further from the truth. Hours and hours and hours of preparation are put in, and I've, of course, being out in the community myself, I've got my name tag on, and people recognize, oh, hey, you're in real estate, and the number one question you always get is, how's the market? And the interesting thing is that there isn't a direct answer to that. They think it's that simple enough to say, well, it's a great market or it's a bad market, or, well, it's a buyer's market, well, it's a seller's market. But really, it's questions that need to be asked, like, what type of a home are you talking about? Are you talking about a waterfront home? Are you talking about a dry-based home? Are you talking about a condominium? Are you talking about a house that would be sold in a band of $200,000 to $300,000, or a home that would be sold in a band of $700,000 to $800,000? Because every one of those, if you will, micro markets will be different. One of those markets may be extremely hot. Another one might be extremely cool. And so there's not a simple answer to many of these things. And this is what realtors do when they're not actually working with the customers, is they're studying the data. They're using the tools that are available to them so that they can be at the top of the game no matter which market that the customer is talking about.
Mm-hmm. If you look at the advocacy, which is a big part of what this association does, what are the opportunities and threats in that realm?
Well, everybody's always looking for, a better mousetrap. And states have budgets. The states have revenues. States have expenses. And they see the amount of dollars that are transacted through the real estate world, if you will, and all the ancillary businesses. And so, some of the threats are legislatively based, as whether it's a local municipality or a state or federally, that they would look at changing a rule, changing a tax. It can have a tremendous ripple effect. And so realtors have always been extremely connected politically, not a party designation, if you will, but who's making these decisions and how do they feel about real estate and how real estate affects their constituents, their consumers. Realtor Political Action Committee, RPAC, we are continually looking for ways to stay ahead of legislation, that we can vet that legislation and determine whether that would be in the consumer's best interest or whether it would be detrimental to them, whether funds would be being taken from their pockets or funds would be available for them for housing for themselves and their families. So political, advocacy is so important because a simple vote one direction or the other could have a tremendous effect on the people that live in our area. And so we keep our finger on the pulse of that. And, once a year we go up to Tallahassee. We talk to all of our state representatives there. We call it Great American Realtor Days. Here from the association, we take a bus. We load as many people as we can fit on the bus. We go up for a couple days. We have a government affairs director here that sets up appointments with each one of our legislators up there, and we make sure that we let them know what we feel is important. The Florida Realtors obviously does a lot of research and watches the legislation coming, knows who those people are that are in the positions that are going to be flipping the switches. And so that's where we place our efforts to make sure that any influence that we can have on the decisions to be made are being made in the best interest of our consumers.
Yeah, I know that, you, Kevin Besserer, our public policy director, and others do a lot of work in that area. So keep fighting the good fight, Bill.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Okay. Hey, now we come to what I always consider my favorite part of the program, and I think I warned you about this. It's called the lightning round.
I'm ready.
Ready?
Yep.
You ready? This is just, we're going to find out a little bit more about Bill the man.
But wait a minute. Don't you have to have rain to have lightning?
There may be sound effects.
Because it never rains in Fort Myers.
There may be sound effects added later.
Okay,
all right. Up to Jerry.
All right.
Yeah, all the trickery of radio in a podcast. So, no, Jerry gets up very early on days when we have the lightning round. He really does.
You can probably tell by the look on my face.
3:30.
Out, yeah.
Is it 3 or 3 you are?
3 a.m.
He drives out from his home in Cape Coral, beautiful waterfront mansion, drives to North Fort Myers, where we have the questions for today's lightning round.
I see.
On 3x5 official game show host index cards, so you know they're official.
Okay.
And we hide them in a super box at an undisclosed location there in North Fort Myers.
Nice.
Jerry retrieved them early this morning, and he's going to hand the questions to me now after he unlocks the super box.
Okay.
So here's the...
He's not very good at that, so it may take a while. It may take a while, I think.
Yeah, he's not a licensed realtor, so he doesn't have a key to the lockbox.
No, I have to break in.
Not sure if he should be allowed access, but I won't tell anyone, Jerry. Okay, I do have the lightning round questions here, and we're going to look for soundbite answers. Don't overthink it. Boom, boom, boom. We get to know Bill better.
Okay.
Where would you live if not in Florida?
Germany.
Good. A lot of Germans here. Popular answer. Pineapple with pizza, yes or no?
No.
What's the funniest movie you ever saw?
40-Year-Old Virgin.
That was a good one. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. What's your dream car?
Lamborghini Countach.
So if I go out in the parking lot right now, is that what I'll see?
You won't.
No, there's some guy over there who's got one.
It's only a dream.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, what celebrity have you been told you resemble?
Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar.
Longer hair, maybe.
I was wondering how are you going to answer that, and I can see it. I can see it.
Well, you know, if he had the Lamborghini, he wouldn't be able to drive
55. I get a little bit of Gary Busey, and I get a little bit of Nick Nolte.
Okay. Yeah, I can see all three, actually. All right. Now tell me about some of your favorite things, Bill. Your favorite sport as a viewer.
You're going to hate me, but soccer.
Soccer?
I played in high school and college, and it's a 100% active game the entire game.
Yeah, I learned all about soccer when I saw Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus, but
yeah.
That may not be the best education. In any event, what's your favorite sitcom?
Well, you're going to hate me for that, too, because I don't watch much television.
I'm not going to hate. There's no hate here. It's a hate-free zone. All right. What's your favorite restaurant to take out-of-town clients to?
Wow. We have so many here to choose from, but one that rises to the top for me is Misto's Grill in Cape Coral.
Misto's Grill. We've heard that answer before, so and I've never been there, so I'm going to be checking that out. Thanks for the tip. Do you have a secret spot for watching sunsets?
Well, obviously, I'm a boater, so to be right there, you know, just out of the mouth of the river and watching the sun go down over Sanibel with the lighthouse. Ooh. Breaking up the sun.
Oh,
great picture opportunity.
Send me a postcard. Yeah, that's gorgeous. All right, I hold in my hands the last lightning round question. There it is. You get one bucket list item, Bill. What is it?
Dive the Great Barrier Reef.
Great Barrier Reef. You better hurry. I heard it's disappearing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so sad. But,
well, I'll dive the Lesser Barrier Reef. It'll still be fabulous.
Lesser is more-er, I always say. So that works out well. Hey, before we wrap up, thanks for playing along with our lightning round, by the way. And I have one last question before we wrap up the interview. How's the market?
Well, tell me a little bit about the price band you're talking about, Jim.
I'm kidding. I know. It's not that easy. It's complicated. How can people get in touch with you, Bill, if they want to make contact?
Well, they can certainly contact me through my Aleph Abishan Realty Group or Abishan Homes, and I'm more than happy to give people my cell number, 239-872-7244.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And if you want to get in touch with us here at the Royal Palmcast, you can do so by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. I want to thank Jerry Johnson for doing a great job today.
No, thanks, Jim. You did awesome as well, as usual.
Thank you. Thank you. The lightning round is a challenging thing on those days, so I really appreciate you getting up so early. Well, and I want to thank Beata Jones and the entire staff and the board at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association for all of their support. They are a wonderful group of people. It's a pleasure to be with them every day. Again, my name is Jim Sandville, your host, and I want to thank you for listening. We'll look forward to talking with you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.